Welcome to episode 4 of It Takes a Village, a podcast for college-bound families by Olin College of Engineering's Admission and Financial Aid team. My name is Dan.
And I'm Alia.
October 1st marked the opening of the FAFSA, which is the free application for federal student aid for the 2021-2022 school year. This application allows eligible U.S. citizens and permanent residents to apply for financial aid at a ton of colleges and universities. To honor this occasion, we decided to explore the age-old question, why is financial aid so confusing? In addition to being an admission counselor, Alia leads a double life as a financial aid counselor at Olin. She has a hypothesis.
So I think the reason financial aid is confusing for students and families is because you're taking something that deals with so many different factors and situations, like families' finances, government policies, colleges, financial aid, resources, and philosophies, and you're funneling all of this into one system. Now, this is necessary to distribute financial aid funds to as many students in as equitable a manner as possible, but it is also imperfect. Systems are not always good at dealing with, you know, humans, and it's impossible to take a person or a family and put them into a formula and have that go perfectly.
To make this process easier to understand, we put together a little game show for two brave contestants, a current Olin student and an experienced financial aid parent. Let's get this started. Thank you, Patrick and Anne, for joining us. We are really excited for this episode. And I guess to get started, we'll start by introducing, or if we can start by having you introduce yourselves. So I guess we'll start with Patrick. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are?
Sure. My name is Patrick. I'm a sophomore at Olin right now. I'm actually on campus as well. I'm from Nigeria, and I plan to study ECE, which is electrical and computer engineering. A little bit of my interest is I like soccer a lot, and I'm into gaming too. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And Anne, can you tell us a little bit about who you are?
Yes, I am a mother of two, one of whom is Alia.
That's my mom.
She's my younger child, and her sister is almost 3 years older than she is. So I've been through this process of financial aid applications, I'm going to say about 8 years maybe, or nine, and that's it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We are very excited to have you both on the show. All right. Patrick, can you tell us a little about your background and experience regarding financial aid?
Yeah, sure. So as a sophomore, I have been through the process twice. I filled it last 6 months ago. And up till now, I still kind of like get confused about, you know, what they ask in particular. But I'm getting better and better in it. So I'd say I'm not as like experienced as Alia's mom, but I have a good grasp of things.
We'll go back to Anne for this question here. What was most confusing for you about applying for financial aid from the parent perspective here?
The first time, I had no idea how to do any of it. And I was happy to know that there was the FAFSA that goes out to everyone. But what is most confusing, I think, was really trying to figure out what they meant by certain questions and whether they applied to me or not in my family situation. Many of these things did not apply to us. And if I tried to leave them blank, or if I didn't have a good answer for them, it would always come back to me later. So it wouldn't let me finish the application until I finished certain questions. And so I had to really figure out how I could answer all the questions to make it go through.
I think that makes a lot of sense, especially, I mean, because everybody's family's situation is so different. So if they're asking you questions about, you know, a farm that your family owns, for example, but you do not own a farm, then that can feel really confusing. I think they've made it better since then in terms of like adding skip logic, which is really nice. So if you just say like, no, I don't have a farm, they'll let you skip over those questions. But yeah, I think that is really confusing.
I'm assuming that it did get better because I did see it get better over the years that we were doing it. So even since then, it's probably much better.
Well, thank you. Patrick, what about for you? What was most confusing for you about applying for financial aid?
For me, so my first year of applying, my parents work abroad because I don't live in the U.S. So they file taxes in Nigeria. So I think we got to a question where they asked, like, what is your tax? But also, we don't file tax in the U.S. So it was kind of like trying to get across the message of like, we don't work in the U.S., but we file taxes. But like, we file zero taxes for the U.S. And it kind of like, we kind of didn't answer that part right. So I think like March, April, my FAFSA form wasn't like complete, if I could say. Because, it was all about the tax issue. And it like took me way longer than usual to get my FAFSA form filled in because of that. So I think that was like the most confusing part for me, trying to communicate with FAFSA that like we file taxes, but not in the U.S.
Yeah, for sure. I think, anybody who's a U.S. citizen or permanent resident generally can fill out the FAFSA. But when you do have a situation where like your parent works in another country or, you are a U.S. citizen, but you live somewhere else and all those different situations can for sure get complicated.
All right. And then this is our last question and kind of our introduction here. On a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being not confident at all, 5 being 100% confident, how confident are you in your knowledge about financial aid and why did you pick that number? I guess we'll start with you, Patrick, this time.
Okay, I don't think this is allowed, but I'm going to say a solid 3.5. Because, it's a fraction, so. But yeah, I definitely say last year was a 1.5, but, going through like a bit of training, I've become to understand a bit of how the process works, what terms mean, how it all links together. And I think I pretty like much grasp the basics of how financial aid works, but I'm not like a pro, I wouldn't say I'm a pro yet in that case.
You're getting there. You're working your way up to becoming a pro. All right. And how about you? How comfortable do you feel?
I'm going to say it's 1 to 5. I'm going to say 3, just by virtue of the time that has passed since I've had to do this. And also the fact that I really got to rely on the questions asked and being prompted by the software and I didn't really have to think about it as much as I did. I think I worried about it more than I had to. And then also, if this particular colleges have a question for you, they're going to ask it. So, you can pretty much rely on them to get the information out of you if you haven't been able to figure it out on your own.
I think that's a good point, because I think a lot of the changes that they have made in terms of skip logic and like the IRS data retrieval tool where you can just link up your taxes directly to the FAFSA in some cases. Oh my God, I see my mom like.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Really wishing that had been a thing. So it's like those things are nice. They make it a lot more user friendly, but then it's also a little bit of that aspect of, okay, I'm not filling this all in by hand anymore. So like how are we even coming up with these numbers? You feel a little less sense of control over it than you might otherwise.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you all for that. Now we are going to have a game show format, kind of, if we will. So how we came up with this is we surveyed Olin first years about their experience with financial aid. We asked them what confused you most about the financial aid process when applying to college. We've taken their responses and turned them into questions for our game show. Our game show is called The Price is Confusing. A little play on words for The Price is Right there. We're going to see how Patrick and Anne do. Then we'll discuss a little bit afterwards. You guys ready for the game show?
I'm ready.
Sure.
All right. All right, Patrick, this question is for you. Is there an income limit for financial aid? And if so, what is it?
I say there is an income limit for financial aid. As for the price, as for the limit, I'm just going to ballpark here. Probably like shooting like all the way, like 350K a year.
Okay. And how about you? Is there an income limit for financial aid? And if so, what is it?
I mean, each school might have their own limits, but as I recall, we were always encouraged to apply no matter what we thought our eligibility would be, because you can be very surprised at what they will offer you. So I say no limit.
So there's not an income limit. Many people think there is, and in some ways it would be simpler if there was, right? But financial aid in the U.S. is not based on a limit or a threshold. It's based on a formula, primarily the formula used by the FAFSA, which is the Free Application for Federal Student Aid. So this formula has many inputs. Parental income, both taxed and untaxed, is the most heavily weighted input to the formula, but there are several others, including parental assets, the student's income and assets, and information about the family, such as the number of people in the family, the number of children who are in college, tax rates in the state where you live, parents' age and how close they are to retirement age, and more. There are also several protections built into the formula to protect your income and your assets that you need to live on. So in the end, a family that makes a certain amount of income and they have one child in college, for example, versus a family with the same income, but there are three kids in the household, two of them are in college, and maybe there's a grandparent who also lives in the home as a dependent, they could have very different eligibility for financial aid with the same income.
All right. Thank you, Alia. Our next question, this question, we'll start with Anne this time. What are the costs of attendance that financial aid is based on?
Okay, so there's tuition. Room and board.
What about you, Patrick? What do you think? What are the costs of attendance that financial aid is based on?
I'm going to have to agree with Anne. You know, there's tuition, there's room and board, there's student activity fees. Yeah, that's it.
Alia, do you want to clue us in a little bit more on what's included in that cost of attendance and what it covers?
Yeah. So every college has a cost of attendance that consists of direct costs and indirect expenses. Direct costs are those charged directly by the college, and that's a lot of what Patrick and Anne named. So there's tuition, which is the first thing both of them mentioned, of course, room and board, so that's housing and meal plans for students living on campus, and fees, which I think we heard a little bit of too. So things like lab fees, activity fees, other fees. Indirect expenses are expenses the college typically isn't sending you a bill for, but which contribute to the cost of being a healthy, happy, successful college student. So this is where we saw a little bit less of that in what you said. So this would include things like books and supplies, transportation, both traveling to campus and then getting around once you're there, and personal expenses, which are all the little things that it takes to be a human. Things like shampoo, laundry, maybe pizza sometime, living expenses like rent and groceries for students who aren't living on campus, and things like that. So I think the indirect expenses definitely are the harder one to wrap your head around. And one reason why financial aid can be so confusing is because every college has their own cost of attendance, and it can vary widely based on the type of institution, the location, et cetera. And within a single college, students can still have different costs of attendance based on their personal situations. For example, are they living on campus or off campus? Which meal plan option did they choose? And so on.
Awesome. Thank you, Alia. Okay, this next question, we'll go back to Patrick first. What is the EFC and how do colleges use it?
So the EFC is the expected family contribution. So in a nutshell, it's what the FAFSA thinks your family's going to contribute in terms of money for your college tuition, other expenses. To calculate it, I think they take into account parental income and assets, student income and assets, other factors like how much property you own, how many dependents are in your house, how many kids are in the house, and other, yeah, basically in a nutshell, it's how much FAFSA thinks you're going to contribute to one person's college fees.
That seems like a pretty good answer. And what do you think the EFC is and how do colleges use it?
Yeah, I don't really have much to add. That was a very good answer from Patrick.
Patrick was very, that was a very good answer, Patrick. You are right. You are becoming a pro. This is one of the most, I would say this is probably like one of the biggest things that we got responses about in the survey. I think the EFC is super, super confusing for people. So the EFC, as Patrick mentioned, is the expected family contribution. And it's the output of the financial aid formula. So after you enter all your information into the FAFSA, it will come out with your EFC at the end. Now, I think the name expected family contribution is kind of misleading for a number of reasons. First of all, the EFC is not meant to represent the amount of money lying around in your bank account after all your bills are paid, you know, that you have sitting around ready to pay for college. The EFC can be thought of more as a measure of a family's financial strength when it comes to making the investment in a college education, which often includes more than just paying it outright, right? Like in this country, especially, loans can be a part of that picture. So I think that a lot of people see their EFC and they might freak out. They're like, I don't have that just sitting in my checking account. But that's not actually what they're measuring. They're measuring your family's overall and relative financial strength to making this investment in a college education. And additionally, every student and family is different in terms of who will ultimately be paying the bill and making that investment. So the financial aid system in the US is built on the expectation that the primary responsibility for paying for college lies with the student and their family, with financial aid from the college and the government and other sources being secondary to that. Now, we can debate all day whether that's how it should be, but that is the principle that the whole system is built on right now. And many times, you know, the family may not be the one paying the bill. The family might not be willing or able to do that depending on their values and their circumstances. So calling it expected family contribution can be a little confusing. And lastly, and more importantly, the FAFSA gives you a single EFC, but that doesn't translate to exactly what you'll need to pay for every college. Every college gets to decide on what they want to do with that information, with your EFC. Every college has different financial aid policies based on their resources and their institutional priorities. So you have one EFC, but that doesn't just mean no matter what college I go to, that's what I'm going to have to pay. And so it gets, you know, it gets more complicated than that.
All right. So this is our last question, and we'll kick this one off with Patrick. I literally just want to know how much I have to pay for college. How do I find that out?
It's not about how much you have to pay for college. It's about how much this college offers to give you in terms of grants and loans. And that will ultimately decide like how much you as a person have to pay. So I don't think there's a straight answer of like how much you have to pay if you're not applying, if you are not applying for financial aid. If you are, it's going to be a little bit like tricky because there's so many factors involved. If you're not applying for financial aid, I think that's when you can answer the question, how much do you have to pay? But I don't think there's a straight answer of like how much you have to pay because there's like too many factors involved in deciding that.
Okay, thank you. Anne, from your perspective, I literally just want to know how much I have to pay for college. How do I find that out?
I think the answer is that you will never know until you get that acceptance letter. And maybe there's a separate letter coming from the financial aid office, because sometimes you're going to be very pleasantly surprised at how little you have to come up with. And other times you're going to be a little disappointed.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you both for those answers. Aldia, what, how can students find out this information?
So this is like the big question, right? It's like people just want to know. They want to be able to go onto one page of the website and see this is the price tag, this is what you're looking at, and have it be really straightforward so that they can get ahead with their planning and figure out what's, you know, what's going to be feasible for them and what's best for them. But in terms of where to find this information, I think Patrick really, you know, hit the nail on the head that it is complicated. There's not just one place that you can find that. As like a prospective student, you're not going to know the final amount that you have to pay literally until the bill comes, you know? And that doesn't help you when you're in the process of researching colleges and deciding where to go. So that's where I think a few other resources come in handy, because it's not just one cost, like Patrick mentioned. So, you know, yes, you know your cost of attendance, you might know your EFC, And those are what go into determining, you know, what that bottom line is for you. But it all depends on the college's financial aid and your personal situation. So that's where something like a net price calculator can come in handy, especially if you're just starting to look at colleges. That is a tool that is required to be on every college's website, where you can enter your financial information and get an estimate. But it is just an estimate, and it's really only as good as the information that you put into it. And then the financial aid offer, if you are, you know, maybe you're a senior or you're applying to colleges, that's really going to be the most helpful tool. Once you fill out your FAFSA and you are accepted to that college, you know, they are going to send you a financial aid offer that's laying out, you know, what you are being offered in terms of financial aid. And that's going to be probably the most helpful tool for you. How do you think they did, Dan?
I think they, we did not send these questions ahead of time. I think they did pretty darn good. All right. So we will wrap up with this question. The overall question of them all, why is financial aid so confusing?
So personally, I think it's very confusing for, like, you know, someone who's starting the whole process, because, like, if you look at the document, there's so many, like, terms, there's so many, like, new things that, like, you have zero idea about at the time. And it's like, I don't know what this means. I don't know what that means. I don't know what they're asking me for. And, like, if they ask you for something, you're probably in a situation where, like, you are not sure, or, like, you're like, both, there's this, but, like, with quotation marks. So it's like, at the start, there's so many, like, new names and stuff. And, like, there's so many pages, like, so many questions they ask you. And you just get overwhelmed at a certain point, and you're like, I don't know what's happening. So I guess you just down to, like, prior information and, like, just getting overwhelmed by the number of questions they ask you, and, like, not knowing what, like, new, like, these new terms mean to you. But, like, if you, like, look at it in retrospect, and, like, you take the time to understand, like, the questions they ask you and, like, what the terms mean, doesn't, like, seem that hard, speaking from my perspective.
And Anne, from your perspective, why is financial aid so confusing?
Well, I have to agree with Patrick. A lot of those questions, they refer to things that I had maybe never even heard of, never mind knew what they were. If it's explained to me what they're referring to, still had no idea what my answer would be. So that's where I learned to really do a little bit better job with my bookkeeping from year to year. And part of what makes it so confusing is that you think it's going to be confusing, and it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. You have to just sit down, buckle down, and go through it question by question.
Well, that is great. Thank you. I think there's just some awesome perspective that you guys have provided us, and hopefully our audience will get a lot from this. So we really thank you and appreciate you being on The Price is Confusing.
Yay!
Thank you all for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
Thanks for tuning in.